How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
The changing of seasons can affect how you feel. One in five people experience some form of depression, no matter the time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. Visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? Not a victory morning today, sadly. Coming off the loss, it seems, and perhaps, I'm bringing my own interpretation into this, but I want to kind of like turn it over. Seems things are pretty rough out there on these streets, ladies and gents. judging from social media, emails, DMs, and just overall kind of atmosphere at the game and in the parking lots after, you know, that loss to the Seahawks, it's low out there. So what we're going to do, we're going to start the show with some positives, because there are positives after the game. Yeah, you lost. A lot of negatives to take away. We're going to spend some time on those. Fault, blame, whatever else. Lots of that to go around. I mean, I'm not saying they don't belong, but it's not always bad. And so I really want to start this show with some type of, man, these things are going well. Because there are a lot of things that are going well. Got to say thank you to the executive producers of today's show. We got David Gill, Kilted 49er, 49er Storage 365, and Corey Robbins. This is episode 1,263 of the 49ers Rush. Ah, freaking love it, man. Now, what's up, RTP? How y'all feeling today? I want to ask the chat. Like, I know it's probably not a good question to ask. It's rough out there, Aaron says. Packed house today. Oh, man. Yeah, we'll see. When the team loses, things change. When the team wins, everybody shows up. That's what it is. But we're the faithful. We're a little bit different. What's up, Alejandro? Appreciate you, Tommy. Hey, Charles. Yeah, Jordan, I'm not mad, just disappointed. Maybe a little mad. Right. I'm not superstitious, just a little stitious. That's what it is. What's up, Kevin? Appreciate you, man. And yeah, y'all's questions, your comments, all those things we're going to get to. Let's do positives first as your answers come in. We got to talk about Juwan Jennings. Like, unbelievable. Just what he has been able to accomplish in such a short amount of time. You know, he got the extension. He's not making much. Obviously, NFL wages are more than our wages that we're used to. But that's our wide receiver one moving forward. Like, I understand Ayuk, and he's not going anywhere. I'm sorry. Juwan Jennings has earned and proven that he is just everything that the 49ers believe in. Physicality. This team's lacking physicality by a long shot. Juwan Jennings, you just throw the damn ball to him. He doesn't need separation. He can be completely covered. Doesn't matter. Not only does he make the catch, he's going to fight for all those yards afterwards. And every single time the ball was thrown to 15, stadium went nuts. Now, does he possess the huge 40-yard explosives and whatever else? No. But here's Brock Purdy just talking about how, man, you just throw it at this guy, good things happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's just who he is. You give him a chance and an opportunity, man, he'll make the most of it. And he's going to fight for every yard, and he's one of the toughest guys on the field. And he inspires all of us, man, just the way he plays and the energy that he brings. And you saw that. The whole stadium fed off that after that. So love playing with him, love going to war with that guy. And we just got to continue to get better together.
And, like, I know you have him under contract for this year and next year. Ah, man, I really wish the DeLorean was in effect and we could have changed the way we did things this offseason. But we can't. And Brock, you know, Brandon Ayuk's going to be a part of our future for a long time. That's a great thing. Did you overpay? 100%. Did you pay the wrong guy? Yeah, you did. But hopefully we get the Ayuk back before he got paid and was motivated and cared about football. Hopefully we get that guy back after the injury because he's a damn good football player. Is he a $30 million a year football player? God, no. I don't think anybody believed that at the time. I think he's like a $25 million a year player, but we overpaid. That's okay. It sucks that he's not contributing, but the injuries, it's what it is. But Juwan Jennings, man, the amount of resources, this is going to play into effect later in the show, that have been spent at the wide receiver position is a major reason why the team is struggling so bad. And I know somebody's like, I thought this was a positive part of the show. It is. It is. And we got Alejandro like, get mad, John. It's probably going to come at some point in this episode. Hopefully not right now. But Dominique Pooney, good Lord. Absolute home run, third round pick. Dude has been incredible. You have two quality O linemen. You got Trent Williams and you got Dominique Pooney, who was a third round pick. Think about all of those third round picks we have squandered on kickers and terrible tight ends and wide receivers and running backs that we just throw those picks away. Just third round pick. We don't even care. Look what a third round pick can do. Look what a third round pick can do. Invest in the trenches. Invest in the trenches. Invest in the trenches. Defensively positives, Diamandour Lenore, good gosh, led the team in tackles. He was everywhere. The slot fade, which has killed us forever, shut another one down. Tyler Lockett slot fade. And on that play, Devondre Campbell was covering Jaxon Smith-Njigba, dear Lord. Geno chose to throw the slot fade. Demo shut it down. So Geno Smith, you know, he throws that, whatever. But how cool is it that we have a nickel who brings the physicality, can stop the slot fade, can play outside, the fact that he's locked up long-term? Gosh, that dude, he's the mirror of Juwan Jennings. This tough as hell, physical, multiple, versatile, does whatever you need in every single given moment. Those are guys to build around. And also, let me say this, you know, I wanted to do a full like breakdown on kind of his salary cap and all that stuff and the contract details. Had some family stuff going on, whatever. But here's the thing. Diamandour Lenore signed like the most team-friendly deal ever. And whenever you compare that Demo deal to the Brandon Ayuk deal, it's just like, wow. I love that when players get their money, but not at the expense of their team. Brandon Ayuk was at the expense of his own team. Multiple void years, balloon payments. Oh, gosh, it's going to be hard to build around that contract in the future. I'm just telling you, it's a terrible contract for the 49ers. You look at the Demo deal, that dude believes in team. That dude believes in being a part of the 49ers. That dude believes in doing what's best for the people around him. Night and day difference. And I know I'm going to get some bad emails on this, and that's okay. I understand. But one of those players went into this negotiation period thinking about the team and himself. One of these players went into the negotiation period thinking about only one person. That's his right, and the 49ers chose to side with that. I think it was a giant mistake, but that's okay. But got to credit Demo. Team-friendly deal, no drama, got it done early, no balloon payments, no void years, and like just beautiful contract where he got paid, generational wealth without holding the team ransom and screwing the rest of the team over. Credit to Demo. And, you know, maybe that should be the approach instead of, man, Ayuk totally screwed everybody over, to, man, Demo, that's what this team, that's what you want. Those are the guys to build around. Absolutely love Diamandour Lenore. Renardo Green, stud. They went after him early. The game plan was test the rookie. Rookie answered the call. Was it a great game? No, but that's three damn good wide receivers that he held up against, and he was peppered with targets. Leonard Floyd finally showed up. All right. You got to take that one, man. Leonard Floyd has been MIA pretty much this whole season, and he's on the ground more often than not. Played really, really well. Etur Gross-Matos comes back from the injury, took all of Sam O's snaps. I really hated that, but he showed, yeah, he's a better player than Sam O at this point. And really disrupted several times over and over and over again. And also, you got to give credit to the defense. They were really good in the first half. Nick Sorensen's not my guy. I really wish we would move on right now, personally. But again, I'm not Shanahan. I'm not part of this Shanahan loyalty program where he just refuses to fire anybody unless your name's Steve Wilks. But we'll dive into that. But you do have to give Nick Sorensen and this defense props. They're good for the first two quarters. Second half, they're terrible every single game. We'll dive more into that. But first half defense, pretty solid. Pretty solid. Special teams didn't suck. That's huge. That's huge. They were not terrible. Jake Moody missed no kicks. And were they good? Did they give us, you know, any type of advantage? No, but that's not what the game plan is, right, Kyle Shanahan? It's just don't mess things up. So from that standpoint, 49ers special teams met all criteria for a quote-unquote successful game just because they didn't screw it up. That's about it. Ugh. I don't know how else to put that in any positive way. It's what it is. Now, yeah, I'm going to say it. If you look at the kickers that we have released, like Andrus Carlson, dude hit a 58-yarder. Ah, man, I get mad. Right here, Alejandro, I'm going to keep going back to this. Get mad, John. I don't want to. Corey says, we're basically out of the playoffs. So what is going well exactly? I don't think we're out of the playoffs. Now, yeah, is it super, super bad? Yeah, it's terrible. The 49ers have the second worst division record in the entire NFC. We're only better than the Giants. And they just, benched their quarterback. But you're one game out. You're literally one game out of first place in the NFC West. Now, your division record's going to make that almost impossible. You're going to have to win a whole lot of games, but that's the way it goes. Is it good? No. But can you win all the games at once? You can't. And here's Brock Purdy talking about how you move forward after this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's our mindset for sure, is to win every single game. And, you know, you got to do it one at a time. You can't look too far ahead. Up next is Green Bay, and we have to be all in on that and not look up. We just have to look down and do our jobs, get better as a unit, and we just got to find a way to win. It's the NFL. It's not easy, and nothing's ever given to you. So.
Thank you, No, the Casio G-Shock. Thanks to its legendary toughness and timekeeping autonomy, it's no secret why the mighty G-Shock has earned its place on the wrist of weekend warriors, first responders, and militaries all over the world. But there's levels to this stuff. And there's a little-known collection of top-shelf G-Shock watches made for folks who crave the very best for everything in life. It's called the MRG. This flagship line of G-Shock watches takes the most cutting edge of tech G-Shock has to offer and blends it with the highest levels of traditional Japanese craftsmanship. We're talking about hybrid titanium and cobarian case construction with artisanal armor-like flourishes, all honed like the edges of a samurai sword. Every beloved reference in the G-Shock collection gets coveted MRG treatment. From the original square case digital reference from 1983 to the beloved analog Frogman dive watch, all the way up to the newest fan favorite, the MRG B2100, with its octagonal bezel and its wild interlocking beams dial. Discover the full range this holiday season at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in 49ers Rush to receive a special gift with your next G-Shock order.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
The changing of seasons can affect how you feel. 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. Visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
I'll say this. The crazy thing is, there's lots of weird things you look at this schedule. The 49ers have 0 wins against a winning team. Against a current winning team, the 49ers have beaten 0 of those teams. The easiest part of our schedule is done. And you lost all those games. Rams, you lost that crap. You lost to the Cardinals. You lost to Seattle. Like, those are easy gimme games. You just threw them away. You threw all of them away. Now you've got the hard part of your schedule. So maybe it just takes the 49ers playing a good team to get to the point, you know, where you're going to go play. But now you've got the Packers, who are a damn good team, and then you got the freaking Buffalo Bills, who I would argue might be the best team of football. They just beat the Chiefs. I think I would argue the best quarterback in football currently. It's either him or Lamar Jackson. Like, they're a damn good squad. So those are your next two games. Like, this was your easy game at home. Now you're on the road back-to-back, cold climates, outdoor, going to be freezing, going to be hard, going to be all those things. Your back's against the wall. It's time to put up or shut up. You got to. And, you know, you drop both these games and you drop to 5-7, you're not making the playoffs. 5-7, you're not going to the playoffs. I'm sorry. 17 games, 10 wins, you might get in. 11 wins, you're getting in. 12 wins, you're competing for the division. You're probably a division winner. That's what you got to do. Not a lot of games left. Now, if you are going to Buffalo, oh, you got to come party with us. You know we're going to be out there. We're flying across country, baby. We got a 49ers invasion event over in Buffalo at the Rec Room from 2 to 8 p.m. the day before the Buffalo Bills game. Going to be a blast. Get your tickets. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. And then our tailgate. Our tailgate is going to be fire, man. We are literally one block northwest of the stadium at 3880 Abbott Road. It's going to be gigantic. Half Bills fans, half 49ers fans. I'm not breaking no tables. Y'all can. Got to get your tickets early. We only have a limited number of spots for this one to make sure everybody has a good time. So 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. If you know anybody going, please send them that information just so they can party with us. Let's have a good time. Let's have a good time. Bobo, did the 49ers fans in the stadium boo? I hope they did so they got the message. I'm a weirdo, and it's funny. I'm sitting there. I don't know. My son would say, like, I was acting like a boomer. Like, I'm a weirdo. I believe in stadium etiquette in a lot of different ways. Like, you don't go up and down your seats during the middle of a play. You don't do that. You wait till the play's over. You wait till the drive ends. You wait till it's official timeout. Like, if you're walking up the stairs, like, there was this guy that kept just coming and going. He wouldn't really pay attention to the game, which is fine. That's his prerogative. But, like, it was the middle of a play. It was, like, a third down crucial play. He tried coming in. I was, like, right on the aisle. And I was like, whoa, whoa, just wait a second. And the guy next to me was like, thank you, because he didn't want to confront. I would try to be mean. It was just like, dude, you're not going to walk in front of me during the game. Just stand there on the stairs or squat down. And the guy, like, recognized my voice. I forget his name, and I apologize. But he was like, man, dude, why don't you do a show on stadium etiquette? Because people don't understand. And so I'm going to work up something. But it's like, dude, don't walk in front of people on third downs and fourth downs. Wait till the play's over, then go to your seat. Just hang out on the stairs, squat down, get out of people's way, then go sit down. Come on, man. We're all Niners fans. Be what it is. But no booing. I'm a 100% non-boo person. You guys know me. That's not who I am. But I will say this. It was felt in the stadium that the fans were not pleased. And I think there's ways to do that. I don't want to ever, anything that the Eagles do, I don't want to do what they do, right? That's the antithesis of what a quality fan looks like. Those are horrible humans. I've been there. I've been punched in the back of the head. I've been tackled in Philly. Like, that ain't it. Snowballing Santa Claus, that ain't it. Like, no. So I'm not a boo guy. I'm not saying you shouldn't be. You do what you got to do. But, yeah, stadium etiquette, I think, is important. And I think everybody felt it wasn't great. Monkey Boy, appreciate the super chat. Undisciplined play, bad coordinators, overall clunkiness every game this year. Firing Kyle isn't a solution, but this year's a bad reflection on it. Man, that is very well said. That is very well said. Bad coordinators. You have 2 out of 3 terrible coordinators. Brian Schneider's special team is awful. Our nicest thing we could say to him is he didn't blow the game himself this time. That's the most positive thing we've said about special teams all year. Nick Sorensen is awful. The defensive coordinator sucks. I don't know what else to say. The best thing I could say is he's not bad in the first half, but he gives every single game away in the second half. You look at fourth quarter scoring, sucks. Worst ever. You look at scoring in the last 2 minutes. We're second to last. We've given up 29 points in the final 2 minutes of the game. That's second worst in the NFL, only next to the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, terrible, terrible. I said this, like, the 49ers have to be up 13 points in the fourth quarter to have a chance with this defense. The defense is really good through the first two quarters, but then Nick Sorensen, he runs out of steam. He can't call plays ever in the fourth quarter or third downs. Any pressure situation, Nick Sorensen's not good. And I know somebody's like, man, they got that fourth quarter stop. That was awesome. That was awesome. It wasn't like it was a masterful call. It was third and one. Everybody knew what was happening. It was fourth and one. Everyone knew what was happening. Players made the play. But anytime he has to show an ounce of creativity in a pressure situation, third down, fourth quarter, dude is found wanting. He can't do it. He can't do it. Can't win with him. Won't do it. Can't do it. Right? Singleton. That's the definition of just this guy ain't it. And again, Kyle deserves so much criticism. I get that. And I've got a whole chapter in my notes, and we're going to go through that. But I just cannot understand how everybody is giving this guy, Nick Sorensen, a complete pass. I don't understand it. The offense, I'm not saying the offense doesn't. I'm not saying Kyle shouldn't. And like people like it, social media is so funny because if you put anything out there, it's, yeah, but you're missing this other point. I'm criticizing Kyle Shanahan of the offense consistently, but if any criticism of Nick Sorensen, people get defensive, and I don't understand why. I don't know why he has earned the loyalty or the Teflon status that this guy's something to be protected. Nick Sorensen sucks, guys. He's awful. Like, okay, let's just look at a couple things, okay? The defense in the fourth quarter has been god-awful all season. All season. So I went back through every single box score, 10 games, every single one, like it's like some colossal effort. I clicked 10 times. We have allowed, the 49ers defense has given up points in the fourth quarter in all 10 games this year. Every single game, no matter the opponent or situation, fourth quarter points have happened against this defense. And so I'm like, okay, that's terrible. Obviously, we ranked 27th. We actually improved a little bit because we only gave up 7 points this time. We're 27th in the NFL in fourth quarter scoring. But then you compare that to last year. And I know people are like, well, we had a better defense last year. Yes, we did. Last year, we had the best fourth quarter defense in the NFL the entire season. Number one. You went from number one to 27th. So then I was like, huh, I wonder how many games last year we shut opponents out in the fourth quarter. Zero in 10 games this year. Then I went back and counted. 11 times. Steve Wilks and the 49ers defense shut out opponents in the fourth quarter 11 times last year. This year, zero. If Nick Sorensen, let's say we run the table and we don't lose another game and we shut out every single team in the fourth quarter from week 12, which we're in now, all the way to the Super Bowl, still won't match that number. Spoiler alert, that's not going to happen. Why do we give this guy such a pass? Why? And it's not like, I'll say this. Okay, here we go. I want to go to Fred Warner, who I think is the number one captain of our team, right? I think it's Fred Warner by himself, right? And even Kyle Shanahan has said, oh, whatever, I'm too busy in the locker room. I'll say, hey, Fred, you know, talk to the team. Like, he is the guy. Like, if you have to do a hierarchy of captains and leaders of this team, it's Fred Warner one, then you can go from there. And I understand the quarterback, I understand Trent Williams, I get Kittle, I get all those things. Don't care. Fred Warner is the number one captain. Here's what he had to say about giving up points late.
Yeah, it's not like us, and but that's just what we've shown this year. So I guess until we stop doing that, then that's who we are.
This is what we've shown this year. This is what we have shown this year. And people are like, well, you don't have Armstead, who you cut for like pennies. And you don't have Hargrave, who was our worst defensive player all freaking season. He had one good game before he got injured. And he was terrible in the playoffs last season, too. That was a terrible contract. but that's okay. We have the second most expensive defense in the NFL. If you look at cap space, we have the second most expensive defense in the NFL. People are acting like he's playing with nobody's out there. That's stupid. Yeah, you got Nick Bosa. Yeah, you got Fred Warner. Yeah, you've got D'Amador Lenore, Charvarius Ward. He's out on personal stuff. But, like, people are acting like we don't have a talented defense. We do. Is it as talented as last year? I do not think it is, simply because of Dre Greenlaw and Hufanga. I think our corners are better this year, considerably. And I think our defensive line, it's not as good. It's not as good. Is it terrible? It's not. And I just talked about how Leonard Floyd had a good game. Nick Bosa had the best game of the year. Ettore Gross Matos had a good game. You're playing against a retired freaking center and a terrible offensive line, and they handled their business until the fourth quarter. That's what we do. We give up stuff in the fourth quarter. You give up an 11-play, I think, 80-yard drive at the end of the third quarter. Then you give up an 11-play, 70-yard drive to lose the game. You got to show up. You got to show up. Now you can talk about, you know, again, well, what's he calling that's not working? That dude is stuck with man coverage in every pressure situation, and it sucks. And it sucks. That Geno touchdown play, man coverage. Yep, listen to Fred again.
Yeah, I mean, we're in man coverage, and so that means, you know, it's going to be hard for us to get to him if he escapes, because everybody got their back turned to him. So, yeah, got to be better.
Got to be better. And so then you're talking about, like, all right, let's go to Kyle Shanahan. And on that Geno touchdown play, when the game was on the freaking line, listen.
No, it's not a breakdown. It's just getting through the D-line. Everyone was in coverage. One was versus zone, the first one. The next one, I believe, was versus man. No one was open in the rhythm of the play, and you got to keep him in the pocket, and he broke through there, and especially on the touchdown run, guys in man coverage had their backs to him and can't let him out of the pocket there.
Your best player on defense, Nick Bosa, is out, and you have to keep this quarterback somewhat contained. He just broke a big one in zone, but you were able to stop him from scoring a touchdown because you were in zone. And so what do? You go to man. You put even more pressure on the defensive line that's been out there for the longest drive of the game without Nick Bosa, and you say, you know what, defensive line, do even more. Do even more. That's a bad coordinator. That's a terrible coordinator. And I think one of the reasons I'm trying to give a nuanced take here, I think Nick Sorensen sucks. I think Nick Sorensen should be fired. I would love Brandon Staley to be the caller of the defense moving forward. I would love that. I would love that. I don't like people losing their jobs. Maybe you demote them, switch play calls, whatever. I want something to change. But maybe the nuanced take is, well, it's his first year calling plays. That's a problem right there. That's a red flag. Like, you give rookies a little bit extra time. You give, you know, these green opportunities a little bit extra time. But we're doing that at the expense of this season. Now, again, Kyle Shanahan deserves a lot. We're in the second half of the show. It's going to be all Shanahan and offensive talk. That exists. Devondre Campbell sucks. Why you still got him out there? Why you still got him out there? D. Winter sitting on the sideline. Why do you still have him out there? Oh, sorry. I pulled down the chat. I had to look away because I was so mad. There's a lot of stuff on there, and I'm sorry. I'm trying to get through this, and it seems like everybody's just going after Kyle. I think that's the easiest thing. We're going to spend the second half of the show talking about Kyle, because if you see a team lose, you just blame the head coach. Like, that's very simple, and I understand that. God, this defense. How do you go from first and something to 27th overnight? And we're not getting better. We're getting worse. We're not getting better. David says, you know, we need a new DC, new special teams coordinator. I also think we need someone to come in and help Kyle figure out a scheme once it gets stagnant. We're going to talk about that in the second part of the show. But yeah, new DC, special teams coordinator. It's really hard to have two out of three coordinators suck at their job. Yeah, right here. Tom, D. Winters. He's got to play more. He's so damn good. He's so damn good. Oh, Oscar, playoffs. I could hear it. Mora, playoffs? We're talking playoffs? Yeah, I freaking love it. Avatar says, tank, tank, tank. if, and again, I don't ever believe in tanking under any situation. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I don't care if it's checkers. I don't care what it is. If I'm playing a six-year-old girl, it's going down. I don't care. I can't do it. I can't do it. So I'm against the tank, whatever. Now, if the draft was today, this might provide solace to some of you. The 49ers would be drafting 18th. That's where we would be picking if the draft was today. Good news or bad news, we could get better or worse. I still think the playoffs are more of a possibility than, you know, what it is, but that's what David says. Our defense gets diced up without Bosa. Simple. Yeah, that was true. We got another sack, though. We put him in third down. Yotto made a horrible play on the ball. That was huge. Actually, that was in the third quarter. Bosa was still in. I was wrong on that one. Yeah, what's up, Mike? How we doing, man? Let's see here. Right here, Val. Didn't Trent Williams also want a contract extension during the offseason? Yes, he did, but he showed up and played and put up positives. Can't say the same for IU, but that is a very fair criticism, Val. That is a very fair criticism to my take earlier about the IU versus Demo thing. Yeah, very well said. Are the 49ers going to beat the Packers? I don't know if the 49ers are going to beat anybody. We just played the worst team left on our schedule. I believe that. The worst team was the Seattle Seahawks. Every single team on our schedule, including the Bears, are better than that. Aaron, stop with the nuanced and rational takes. Hate. I love it, man. I'm trying, man. Like, my job, what's my job, right? Like, I'm a fan. My job is whatever it is. my job is whatever y'all say it is. You want me to be mean and mad and cuss? It's funny because I'll get emails like, John, why don't you cuss more? John, why don't you do this? John, why don't you do that? But it's what it is. Travis, John, it's due to the soft coverage. Man, I wanted to stay in soft coverage the majority of the game. I really, really did because Geno just makes mistakes. That's how we got that one turnover, the Isaac Yiadom interception. Should have changed the game right there. But our linebackers, it's bad. Yeah, right here, Wilkes, come back, please. I would trade a third-round pick to have Steve Wilkes call our defense for the rest of the year. I trade a third-round pick. I understand. I liked Wilkes more. I'm a tape guy. I'm a scheme guy. Nick Sorensen ain't either of those two. He's not. He's a field guy, and he's a tendency guy. I can tell you what Nick Sorensen is going to do on every single third down. Every single third down. I never knew what Wilkes was going to do. The opposing offense can tell what, you know, Sorensen is going to do on every single third down. Every single time. Bobo. John, do you bring back Greenlaw now or sit him for the tank? No, you bring him back. You need to know, like, you got to build forward with Greenlaw, and you're hoping Greenlaw comes back to the same way he played. You signed that dude to an extension. You've seen what happens when you have a bad linebacker, too. No, yeah, you bring him back. I'm not in on the tank, guys. I am not in on the tank. Jam, Sorensen's horrible. Travis, we only do soft coverage in the fourth quarter. Makes no sense. Yeah, it's bad, man. Right here, Slick. I knew Sorensen wasn't it when he first got the job. I heard him speak at the press conference. It was bad. That was terrible. Travis. He says, I think our captain's not holding the team accountable. Debo's freaking choke slamming people on the sidelines. That's accountability. And Debo deserves criticism because I don't think that he had a good game. I think he had a terrible game. But, man, we got a freaking captain holding people accountable on the sidelines and people get upset. I don't care what the people think. Like, you chokeslam that dude. He's an idiot. Long snapper talking trash to a captain? Get that shit off my team. Know your place. Know your freaking place. Ah. Raymond, appreciate the super chat. You're the freaking man. He says, the winds of change are starting to blow. Coaching staff needs to be changed. That includes Kyle. Bill Walsh was gone after 8 years. We need to have an honest talk with ourselves. This hurts. I think changes need to be made for sure. I'm not on the fire Kyle thing. I get why most are. I understand. It's easy. Fire Kyle. Like, people were telling me, fire Kyle last year. Fire Kyle the year before. You've been to 3 out of 4 NFC championship games. That's unreal. I'm not on the fire Kyle crowd. But if you think he should be fired, you can go bet that. That's up on my bookie right now. We had a good week, which is weird. We went 6-for-12 We pushed with a little bit extra on our bets this week, which is crazy. We got so close to having a killer week, but it's what it is. We'll talk about those. But we actually did pretty good this week. And so, you know, whenever you have a heavy week, like we bet big this week, and you don't lose money, that's a positive. But if you haven't bet with us this year, man, we're up big time.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to MyBookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
All right, the PFF scores just came out. Take this for what you will. And I think this is hilarious because this is what we were talking about. The number one rated defender, D. Winters, an 85.1 score. He got 10 snaps. Meanwhile, Devondre Campbell, 60 out of 60 snaps. He played every play. But to be fair, Devondre Campbell ranked as the third highest rated player. I thought Campbell had a good game till the fourth quarter. He got tired and it showed. Obviously gave up that touchdown run and the scramble run to Geno Smith. But I don't think Devondre Campbell had a bad game. It's just when the game's on the line, Devondre Campbell cowers. D. Winters needs more snaps. Leonard Floyd, who I said had a good game, second highest rated player. That's what that is. Leonard Floyd had 6 pressures. Basically, like his season total, he matched in one game. He played incredible. Now let's do what everybody wants to do. Let's do the Kyle Shanahan talk. Let's do it. Okay. Why is Kyle Shanahan to blame? For several reasons. My number one thing, and there's a lot here. I have a long list. Okay. So I don't do this often. I don't do this often. If you guys, 1,600 episodes in, you guys know it's not me. Bobo, Kyle Shanahan turned Brock Purdy into Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, you might be right there. RTP. Yeah, RTP laughing. You're the man. So I don't crap on Kyle a lot. Not because I'm like in love with Kyle or whatever else. It's because I watch the film. And I see the opportunities created consistently on offense and defense. Or on offense. Now, those have gone down. My biggest criticism of the offense is 17 points is a killer, and that's not allowed. Like, with this, what we have against that terrible defense, that's a joke. 17 points against this team is a joke. That's a joke performance. Now, why, and I think this is where I usually am like, I watch all the other teams' offenses. If we got to play against our defense, man, we dominate, but we don't get that privilege, sadly. I see these other boring offenses consistently, and I see guys open all the time every time I watch film. This game, not as much. The wide receivers were getting no separation, which pisses me off because Ricky Pearsall was on the sideline. He played 30-something snaps out of 63. Why? You pulled Ricky Pearsall off so Jalen Moore could play tight end too? Eric Saubert got 61 snaps. That's the lack of creativity. Eric Saubert was the worst-rated player at a 41.8 grade. You can't get separation. Meanwhile, you got a first-round pick sitting on the sidelines watching with his hands on his hips, whose only job, whose only skill set is to get separation on routes. He had no catches. He was on the sidelines for half of the plays of the game. What the hell is that about? Deebo Samuels having a terrible game, 55 out of 63 snaps. Instead, Eric Saubert, 61 snaps. Stupid. That's stupid. Jordan Mason, 2 snaps, and got 12 yards on those 2 snaps, and he never went back to him. Stupid. Stupid. There's a lot of dumb. There's a lot of dumb taking place. And I think the foundation of my biggest Kyle Shanahan criticism, because understand, Kyle Shanahan is the head coach, he's the offensive coordinator, he's the general manager, and he's the DC. So he deserves criticism for all those things. I'm able to pardon a lot of those criticisms because the offense usually is dominating. And whenever you look at the overall ranks, the offense is still dominating. They're eighth in points, second in total yards. Like, the offense overall collectively is good, but you keep having these duds. Keep having these duds. The averages say you're still great, but you keep having these duds. Why? The offensive line. It's your fault, Kyle Shanahan, that you haven't invested in the trenches. That's how the 49ers became great in the first place. Defensive line, offensive line. That's what you do. But along the road, Kyle Shanahan says, I want all my toys. He's like Andy in freaking Toy Story, the opposite. He wants them all. And what are his toys? Wide receivers and running backs. Look where we are. We're spending first-round picks on a guy sitting on the sidelines for half of the game. Why? Imagine what you could have done with the first-round pick of the offensive line. You have two quality linemen. One of them you got lucky in the third round. And Trent Williams, who's a Hall of Famer. Aaron Banks is god-awful. I wonder where is he? I didn't see this yet. Oh, okay. Aaron Banks finished with a 49 score. I said it was his worst game of his career. Two penalties. I don't know the pressures, but I don't really care. He sucked. Now, you actually spent a second-round pick on that. So maybe, again, nuance take, damn it. But, like, move on. Meanwhile, John Feliciano's at home watching TV. He's healthy. He's cleared. He's practicing. I don't care how bad John Feliciano is. Throughout his entirety of his career, he has never been as bad as Aaron Banks was yesterday. He has never been as bad as Jake Brendel was yesterday. Ever. Get that dude on the damn team. Oh, continuity on offensive line, so important. Screw that. Bad continuity is not good continuity. You can't keep making all these damn mistakes. Aaron Banks killed two drives by himself. Jake Brendel killed two drives by himself. Colton McKivitz killed one drive by himself. And actually, Colton McKivitz is the third highest rated player with a 79.4 grade. He had a 90.3 grade run blocking. But that damn penalty, and then he gave up that huge pressure. He's just not consistent. And so, like, when we had McGlinchey, you knew this dude's going to ruin two drives a game. Colton McKivitz, kind of the same thing, but you're paying pennies. But I don't give a damn. I understand the 49ers have the most offensive line, simple system. Let me rephrase that. It's not a simple system. It's a complex system. It's the most offensive line friendly. It covers up a lot of the deficiencies that most offensive line players have. And shoot, I need to load this clip. This is terrible management here, but I want to see if I can find it. Where Chris Forster kind of talks about the line, man, I'm not seeing it there, and how he just wants people like over this line. And if he has that, then, you know, you're going to be just fine. But I'm sitting here saying, I really don't think that's a real thing. I think he's wrong. Here it is. I just found it. So I'm loading this clip up now. I completely disagree with this entire philosophy, and this is a Chris Forster, and this is a Kyle Shanahan thing. And I'm going to blame Chris Forster, who I think is a damn good offensive line coach. I think he's a top five offensive line coach in the NFL. However, my biggest criticism of Kyle Shanahan is he has to be in charge. He has to do everything. He doesn't listen. He doesn't listen. But whenever the second-tier coaches like Chris Forster enable Kyle to go do whatever the hell he wants, and Kyle gets kind of drunk on this, oh, receivers, 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 receivers. And whenever that happens, Kyle's going to freaking take it and run with it. Here's Chris Forster. I completely disagree with this, okay? This is a 121 clip, just over a minute, but this is my single most reason for why the 49ers are where they are is because Kyle took what Chris Forster is about to say in this clip and ran with it. This is why the 49ers are 5-5.
There's a line, and this is what I always say with offensive line play. And this is a cool discussion. I love this discussion. There's a line below which that with offensive line play that if you just drop a little bit below it, it's a gaping hole. It's just all of a sudden you're like, he can't block anybody. And now we got a major problem. But as long as they're at that line and just above it, You can survive it, and you can take care of them. We've got ways with our system. We can chip. We can do all sorts of things to help guys. Slide lines, double team the best rusher on the team. There's so many mechanisms to help a lineman. If a guy can't get open, If a guy can't catch the ball, run, that's where we have a problem. But an offensive line play, you got to be careful. You got to have those 6, 7, 8 guys that are just at that line or above, and that's the challenge. Where's that line in the draft? Is it the 3rd round, 2nd round, 4th round, 5th? When's that line where all of a sudden the tackles have dried up, the guards have dried up? Now you're talking about drafting backup players, which is fine. They're backup players, but they're not going to be long-term starters for your team. And that's the challenge for me. Because eventually the guys that can run and score touchdowns run out. They're not there anymore. So you have to find those quality starters at other positions. And you got to be right, because oftentimes when you draft a lineman in the 4th or 5th round, there might be a guy that could come in immediately and contribute on special teams, contribute to be a backup linebacker, safety. And so we didn't draft him first, second. We got to take somebody in the 4th round here, because I got 5 guys, got 5 holes to fill. So
much there. He's wrong. Now, again, the 49ers, this outside zone, Kubiak, Shanahan, hybrid, whatever you want to call it, don't care. Yeah, it's the most offensive line-friendly system in the NFL. It really, really is. You can take lesser talent and get more out of them. However, you can't have subpar players consistently out there. Aaron Banks is not a subpar player in the NFL, and he's going to get paid by somebody. But when Aaron Banks has any type of injury whatsoever, which he did this week, he sucks consistently. I love Aaron Banks. I think he's a great dude. He's from El Cerrito. Like, I think he's awesome. I hope he gets paid. Not a foundational piece. He's not. And, yeah, man, my man Aaron, thank you from Facebook. Passed on Tristan Wirfs and Creed Humphrey. Creed Humphrey was on the board. We traded back 5 spots. Creed Humphrey was still on the board, and we took Aaron Banks. The best center in football was there. I was screaming at the top of my lungs, go get this guy. Now, again, stick with the nuanced takes on my own draft takes. I was the one that wanted to trade up for Trey Lance, so yeah, I'm an idiot. But I was right on Creed Humphrey. I mean, dude, if we had a quality center, the 49ers are a championship team. If you put Creed Humphrey on the 49ers, not the Seahawks, or not the Chiefs, 49ers won that Super Bowl, period. Like, I don't even care. Like, it's not even close. Tristan Wirfs, he was sitting there. We had a need at tackle. You could have taken that easily and just rode off into the sunset. Those 2 simple moves. Don't draft Kinlaw, draft Wirfs. Don't draft Aaron Banks, draft Creed Humphrey. Done. But we don't invest in the offensive line. We don't do it. We don't do it. Aaron goes on to say, look at the Steelers, loading up on O-line this draft and last year's draft. They're dominating, man. They're playing really smart football, really smart football, and they don't have any of the weapons on the outside. Yeah, Pickens is awesome, but, like, man, they got him, what, in the 2nd round or whatever? We got all 1st round everythings. 1st round everythings. Trading multiple picks for running backs and whatever. More wide receivers, paying wide receivers, trading for wide receivers, signing wide receivers. Wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. Why? Because that's what Kyle wants. Not what Kyle needs. And my issue is, let's get somebody that can freaking John Lynch, do your damn job. Well, Kyle says, Chris Forster says, just got to be at that line. Bullshit. Bullshit. We're below the line. Wherever the line is, Jake Brindle is drowning underneath it. Period. Period. I don't care what anybody says. And you can show me so many positive clips, and you can tell me Jake Brindle's great. And agents can email me all the damn well you want. Shut the hell up. Shut up. Like, no, you are wrong. You are wrong. Jake Brindle sucks consistently. And him watching players get tackled over and over and over again, it's inexcusable. And all of the offensive penalties over and over and over again, inexcusable. But nope. We got to keep that continuity. We got to keep that line. It's a joke. It's a joke. That's my biggest thing, man. And, you know, you go back to... I got to turn my fan up. I'm getting upset. And here's my biggest thing. We go back to the draft this year, and our draft class has been off the charts. So, like, you got to understand, it's criticism. But, man, they hit home runs in the draft. But why are we still spending 1st-round picks on wide receivers? I love Ricky Pearsall. I love the story. I love what he's overcome. Why is his ass on the sidelines for half of the game so we can have Jalen Moore play tight end too? Really? Really? So Eric Saubert can have 61 snaps? Really? What the hell, man? We can't get separation. Brock's struggling. Let's keep Ricky Pearsall on the sideline. Because I thought the best way to help Brock, and I think a lot of fans thought the best way to help Brock, was to get him offensive line help, which helps the run game, which sustains drives and pass protection, all those things. Now, Kyle says, nope, we want to get space creators. Well, space creators, they're creating space on the sideline. Meanwhile, Jake Brindle's watching people getting tackled over and over again. Literally watching people get tackled. And, okay, so, like, I get this. And this is what everybody always says right here, Michael. Kyle puts the choke in whatever. Bobo, Kyle chokes over and over again. No, no. This is where I disagree. Because you go into the fourth quarter and you're behind. Kyle Shanahan scores a touchdown. You get the lead in the fourth quarter. You got back the lead. Then what happens? Defense lets an 11-play, 70-yard touchdown go. And then somebody's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. They got that fourth down stop. Yeah, they did. Yes, they did. They got the fourth down stop, and they should have never gotten the ball back again. Should have never done it. However, Kyle called the perfect play. He called drift. He called drift, which is the 49ers staple. It's the staple before Shanahan even came here, and Debo was open on a crosser. And what happened? What happened? Pressure up the front. Here, let's listen to Purdy.
Obviously, just stay on the field. You know, try to move the chains, get them to use their timeouts, and run out the clock. And we failed in that area. So, got to execute better. Got to stay on the field, find a way, and we didn't. So we gave him a chance at the end, and yeah, that's what happened.
There you go, man. Like, Brock Purdy didn't. It was a terrible pass. It was behind him. He had pressure in his face. And he even talked about later on how, well, yeah, there was a defensive tackle. Jake Brindle, Aaron Banks, Colton McKivitz. So your line, take your line and shove it. Shove it because you're wrong. You have been consistently wrong. And anytime you go up against a dominant defensive lineman, you get destroyed. Consistently. That, and so again, like, people are like, oh, Kyle Shanahan choked in the Super Bowl. No. And again, I just gave all these props to freaking Steve Wilks. No. The 49ers, Kyle Shanahan, and the offense walked onto the field in the Super Bowl. Down three consecutive times. Walking on the field with the offense, you're trailing in the fourth quarter and overtime. Three times. Every single time they walked off the field, they had the lead. I'm sorry. That's badass. That's awesome. And you did the same thing this week, too. You did the same thing. Defense at some point in the fourth quarter has to show up. And again, I'm a defensive guy. I was a defensive coordinator. That's kind of how I cut my teeth. So, like, I'm always going to put on the defense. I'm always going to put on the defense. Now, 17 points, that's a joke. That's a joke. But what happens when the game's on the line? The 49ers drove down and got the lead in the fourth quarter. Now, should they have done that the second time as well? Well, here's the deal. It's equal in both. 49ers offense crapped the bed on one drive in the fourth quarter. 49ers defense crapped the bed on one play in the fourth quarter as well. One drive. But that's the difference. It was an 11-play, 70-yard drive, whereas Brock Purdy missed the second down throw. Ah, man, get me hot over here, bro. Get me hot over here. The Bird Man, you play 60 minutes. That's what's up. Yeah. Yeah. Niner. John, is there any way out of the Brandon Ayuk bad contract? There is not. There is not. He raked you over the coals in one, and he laughed about it to your face, and he laughed about it to the fans' face and said, yeah, I made it harder than it needed to be. That's okay. And shrugged his shoulders, and we all still accepted him, and we are all just like, he's a good guy. Yeah, you guys let them do that. 49ers draft character, not talent. That's a fair criticism. That's the post Reuben Foster. They changed it. I think what the 49ers are drafting, they're drafting well. Look at this draft class. It's peppered top to bottom with studs. But you're not drafted. You didn't draft a defensive lineman. You didn't draft a defensive lineman. You didn't draft a defensive lineman. You didn't draft a D lineman. What the? You drafted two guards. Oh, you didn't draft a center. You didn't draft a tackle. You didn't draft a defensive lineman. You drafted two guards. And then you cut one of the guards that was actually pretty good. Anyway, and now all this goes back to, it all goes back to Shanahan. And the criticism needs to be there. I hate how the offense just goes inept over and over and over again. I can't stand it. And yeah, Ed right here, Kyle, run, run, pass over. I would say run, pass, pass is like his thing. My favorite plays in football, and he did this once this game, is the third down run. It was third and five. We're in no man's land, kind of at that 45-yard line where, like, do you punt, you kick a field goal. We ran it and got the first down. I love passes on first down. I love runs on second down. I love runs on third down. We don't do that very often. Ed goes on to say, Kyle's too predictable. Yeah, they line up close. He's throwing over the middle. He won't throw outside the numbers. It's crazy. Yeah, Brock talked about how they took away the deep pass. Here's the clip here.
I mean, I think they just did a good job with, you know, taking away our opportunities to go deep. They did, you know, they kept everything in front of them, it felt like. And so that's from what I can remember. Obviously, I got to go watch the film and see.
But we don't have deep wide receivers. That's George Kittle. That's Brandon Ayuk. That's kind of the issue with Ricky Pearsall. He's not a deep wide receiver. He never has been at two schools in five separate years. He can run a slot fade. That's kind of about it. He can't stack corners ever. Juwan Jennings runs as fast as I do, but he did his part. Debo's not a deep wide receiver either. So when Kittle was out, you kind of lost that. And so that's kind of the rough part. What's up, Captain? How we doing? Monkey Boy says, you know, lack of pass protection give Purdy bad tendencies with happy feet. 1,000%. 1,000%. 1,000%. Bar none. Love the name. Niners haven't had a ball hawk safety in 10 years. They're not drafting one either. They're not going after one either. They're going after strong safeties only. That's what it is. Oh, Jason, I didn't even think about that. He's a Seattle guy. Eating some crow today in Seattle. Hey, here's your response. You guys got us. You're 1 for 6 of the last 7. Good job. Good job. Yeah, Jacob Cowan got knocked out with a concussion, but Kyle Shanahan won't let him play offense anyway. Yeah. Steve-O says, don't lie. You run six second 40, I'll bet. Probably worse, man. I'll pull a hamstring on there. I'll be missing the game with Kittle. But my point was, Juwan Jennings is a stud. We literally started the show off talking about how good he is, but he's not a field stretcher vertically. That's not who he is. That was the point. But yeah, I'll take a dig at me anytime. You're great. You're great. So yeah. Why the 49ers are here, you've abandoned your philosophy of building the team through the trenches. Defensive line, offensive line, that's where it should be. You have taken that away by your personnel choices in free agency. You're buying literally guys that you can just plug and take snaps. That's what you're doing. Jordan Elliott's the clearest example of that. Not a good player. And he's a Longhorn, not a good player. It's rough. It's rough. So build through the trenches. Go back to who you are. Focus on physicality, domination, and stop playing with all these stupid toys. You spend a third-round pick on a kicker. Not good. You spend a fourth-round pick on a punter. Not good. You spent another third-round pick on a tight end that wouldn't block. You spent countless third-round picks on running backs that you overdrafted by 3 or 4 rounds that are no longer on the team. Stop doing that. Offensive line. Defensive line. It's so freaking simple. Vince, thank you. Trenches for sure. O-line is not good enough. Can't have two quality offensive linemen. Can't have two bad coordinators. It's what it is. Ah, frustration. You guys are the best. Ugh, this is why we are. I'm going to go break down some film. Join us over on the 40hoursrush.com. You want to find out why the game's going the way it is? You want to figure out if Kyle Shanahan really is? What's everybody say? Like, oh, he's not adapting. He's not creative. We'll see what the film says. The film doesn't lie. You are the best. Until next time, and it's going to be hard this week. Stay strong, faithful.
Hi,
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.